Pacifico. Bill Hendricks.
Well, buddy, dumbass. I didn't say everybody's a dumbass. Welcome back here. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here. It is our news and information hour. And this is where we kind of kick it around a little bit here with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. And thank you, Bud, for holding down the fort there. It's kind of a confusing 3 hours tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, the guests were...
Yeah, the guests all whacked out.
Well, I mean, they're whacked out. They're confused. They're, first of all, they're idiots to begin with, you know. And whose idea was to have Debbie Daly sing? I guess it was my idea.
Yeah, you're the one who said that'd be really cool and everything, make everybody feel all warm and fuzzy.
I didn't say warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. You want to do that because you think it's going to give you brownie points with all the people that got jacked up hearing.
What do you mean it's going to give me brownie points with people that got jacked up hearing?
Yeah, you want to score some points with the cripples.
Hey, would you guys watch it, please?
Sorry.
No, I ain't trying to score any points. It was Margaret that wanted to bring her on in the first place. Margaret's the one who said she wanted to, I said, why don't you come on? You can sing some Donna Summer songs. Oh, well, no. Debbie Daly can sing. All right. This is an interesting article, but what it actually inspired in me was a conversation about something really not having much to do with the article. But let me start out with the article, and then I want to sort of expand. Brain ailments in veterans likened to those in athletes. Now, this is a study that was done by a Dr. Lee Goldstein and Anne McKee. They are authors of a paper on a disease called chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And what is that? It is the wasting of brain tissue as the result of concussion. And they're finding that in athletes, as you know, particularly football players, suffering many concussions, they get this condition where they're literally, there's gray matter that's dying. Well, the same thing they're finding in veterans, combat veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan, who were exposed to roadside bombs. The explosion and the resulting concussive effect of that explosion, not necessarily that the men were injured by the explosive charge itself, but that they were injured by the concussive nature of sound and the shock of the blast. These guys have the same condition. And so they're, you know, this is a beginning for doctors. It's sort of a beginning place for doctors in treating this problem. According to the doctor, there's a profound and definitive way that there is an organic structural problem in the brain associated with blast exposure, said Dr. Goldstein. He is at the Boston University School of Medicine. He's the lead author of the paper, which was published online Wednesday in the peer-reviewed journal Science Translational. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know, boy. What's that mean, peer-reviewed?
Yeah.
It means that other doctors look at your work and review it. So this is how doctors and this is how scientists maintain their knowledge. You know, you don't just become a doctor and then you hang out your shingle and then you sit on your ass and you wait for the patients to come in. You are expected to constantly be reviewing and constantly updating your knowledge. That's why they have medical journals and papers, and you're expected to stay abreast of these things. It's just like in any other profession. This says translational. What is that? T-R-A-N-S-L-A-T. I've never seen that word before. Anyway, the paper provides the strongest evidence yet that some and perhaps many combat veterans with invisible brain injuries caused by explosions are at risk of developing long-term neurological diseases similar to what football players or athletes that are have been injured by way of concussion, similar to what they suffer. And the thing that this got me, first of all, I took a look at the doctors involved in this, Dr. Goldstein and Dr. McKee, and I thought, thank God for these people, you know.
Yeah, they went to school, man, did more than I did.
Yeah, at least they didn't cut school like me.
Well, they did more than not just cut school. They went and they pursued a worthy profession, and not only did they pursue a worthy profession, they went into research. They're not just, you know, running some family practice. They went into research. And the whole point that I'm making about this is, you know, that America, now these are two brilliant people. And they give a damn enough to study a problem that's affecting Americans. And they're authoring papers on it. And they're digging into these situations. America is lagging in math and science. You've heard it said many times. In other words, what's the bottom line? We're a country of dumbasses and getting stupider as the days go by. Now, that may be funny to some people. You know, good luck, Jack, when you're, you know, when you're putting rivets into a Korean car for a Chinese boss, okay?
Get out of here. You're telling me that's going to happen?
I'm telling you right now that Americans are, we have become a consumer society because we can't make anything anymore. And pretty soon, we ain't even going to have the money to consume. They'll just stick our asses out there on the, out there at the fish farm. And we'll just be like, you know, we'll be like the Thracians and the Roman colonial peoples of old. You know, Rome, basically what Rome was this very wealthy central power that was just eating all of the things that was produced by or were produced by their conquered territories. And right now, America is sort of the Rome, but pretty soon we're going to be the conquered territory, a bunch of dumbasses that don't know how to do anything.
Do you think it's going to happen to us?
Yes, if we don't get off our ass. You know, that's why I'm very grateful for people like Simon Cowell and Howard Stern. It's interesting how you bring Simon Cowell and Howard Stern into the same conversation with two doctors that are authoring a paper on CTE. But here's why. These two people are doing some worthwhile work. American Idol and America's Got Talent is simply one more place for every stupid person that thinks they are talented can go and act like a jackass and thank God be told, you haven't got any talent, man. You couldn't run a flea circus. Get your ass out of here and go back and pursue something that's worthy of you.
I never heard Kyle say that.
Well, that's what he said. And that's what Howard Stern says. You suck. You suck. What are you doing here? You know?
Yeah, but a lot of people, they want to be a singer.
I don't give a damn if they want to be singers. A lot more of these people should be told, you stink, go back home and get back in school and get serious. Who the hell are these people anyway? And are the parents encouraging them? What I'm trying to tell you is, while we're sitting here in this country like the dumbest pack of jackasses you ever saw, trying to be singers and actors and whatever the hell else we're trying to be, you got a whole, you know, there's people all over the world, societies all over the world that are pushing their kids through math, through science, through these very, you know, these disciplines that are actually going to be very, very fruitful in the years ahead in this century that we're looking at, the 21st century, where the entertainer who made a lot of money in the 20th century, the artist who made a lot of money, we're coming out of the century of the artist and the entertainer, as far as I'm concerned, the money that artists made is unbelievable. Well, we're all done with that. All done with it. And now the money is going over, unless, of course, you're super talented like me.
Yeah, they better cut some fat checks for you.
Yeah, and a little check for me.
Right. Now, but you know what I'm saying? I belong on the radio. I was born to do this. This is, if ever a guy was born to be an entertainer, it was Phil Hendry. There's nothing else I know how to do, and frankly, I'm better at this than just about, I mean, I hate to be egotistical, but I am, man. I know there's a lot of cats that are good, but I'm right up there with anybody. There's not anybody on the air, I can tell you that right now, working in this business, not anybody that scares me. Not any of them. There's a lot of them that I like, and a lot of them that I admire, but they ain't one of those guys that scares me. You know, I just wish I had, and I'm going to be, you know, in the days and the weeks ahead, I'm going to be sending out blackmail letters.
Yeah, I got those pictures.
Right, so I can get... I'm kidding. But that's me. See, this is a... If you can't say in your heart of hearts that you were born to do the thing that you're doing, get the hell out of it and do something else. If you don't feel it in your bones, if you don't feel that this is where you ought to be, then, Jack, find another job. And if you're going out there on American Idol or whatever the hell else... And, oh, I think I'd like to try singing, because...
Yeah, dude, it's great Howard Stern telling people they stink, and Simon Cowell, too, but a lot of those people, how do you know, they're going to go home and blow their brains out?
Let me tell you something. If some jackass leaves American Idol or America's Got Talent, and they blow their brains out after Simon Cowell or Howard Stern told them to go, you know, go hump a tree, man, they had bigger problems than whether or not they were going to get a contract from freaking American Idol, man. Now, take your little sheet music, take your bad singing ass, and get out of here. And that one chick that I saw, I think was the opening episode of American Idol this year, where she really dressed, man. Did you see that?
Yeah, tell her hot pants, man.
Yeah, she said she's going to make them notice.
Well, yeah, great. And they still told her she stunk. She thought she was going to actually get past the first round if she had really tight shorts on and was showing them her ass. And guess what?
Sent her ass home.
They sent that really fine ass home. Exactly. All right. Enough of that garbage. But anyway, thank you very much for the great service you do us, American Idol. All right. We'll be back. Trayvon Martin, some documents have revealed some new details. Not much. It's just some stuff. Who knows how to read it? And raw sewage may have been flowing into Bitter Lake for 8 years. Plus, that means that the drinking water is green, but they still say it's safe. Let's find out about that when we come back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show. News
Truth
and Entertainment Hour.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show. We got Margaret at the bottom of the hour. Is that right?
Yeah, she's going to be coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, Margaret's going to be on the bottom.
Oh, you know, don't give me those looks, okay? You guys are really crude.
Yeah, Mr. Hall said that if you didn't point it out, nobody knows what I was talking about.
I don't care what Mr. Hall said. When you guys are giving each other the look like, I don't like it because that means your minds are working a certain way, and I want your minds working not in the gutter, up on the sidewalk. Remember what I said?
Yeah, I got to remember that.
Remember our first, what's our first axiom here on the Phil Hendry Show, bud?
Yeah, your mind on a sidewalk, not in the gutter.
Exactly.
I thought it was on a sidewalk.
No, it didn't sound like that to me. All right. This is not exactly earth-shattering news, but we will update you on the Trayvon Martin case. Neighborhood Watch volunteer George Zimmerman shot Trayvon Martin from a very close range, according to documents a Florida prosecutor released on Thursday that indicate a hand-to-hand struggle occurred before the teenager was killed. This is part and parcel of discovery. The defense gets these documents, and you and I do. A lab report based on an examination of the two sweatshirts Martin was wearing found holes and gunshot residue consistent with a contact shot, meaning the gun was pressed against Martin's chest. An autopsy report said that the gunshot wound indicated he was shot from an intermediate range, which experts say is between 1 and 18 inches away. The reports, among nearly 200 pages of newly released information, add to the fragmented portrait of what happened the night of February 26th, when Zimmerman shot the unarmed black 17-year-old, provoking nationwide debates over racial profiling and self-defense laws. It's unclear how the new documents might bolster or undermine the state's case against Zimmerman, whose mother is Peruvian and father is white. I don't know why they brought that up, you know.
Well, I'm kind of the multiracial.
The multiracial.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right. So the information includes laboratory. I know he's, to me, he looks Hispanic. Does he look Hispanic to you?
Yeah, but he's got a white mother.
Let me just stop for a second. I got no more patience with this conversation we're having in this country now. Before Barack Obama was elected president, I'm not crazy. I lived here, too. So don't give me this load of crap. If you were half black, you were black, Jack. So don't give me this crap about Barack Obama being half white. These people are saying Obama's half white, and he is half white. But in America, half white, when you've got black blood, never, ever, ever meant jack squat. So don't tell me that it does now. Never, ever. These people who think you were born yesterday really cracked me up. Oh, you know that Obama, why do they call him black? He's half white. Oh, really? And since when is a black guy with white blood, since when is that guy half white? Never in my life. And I'm talking about racial attitude now, okay? Never in my life did I ever hear of anybody, any black person, and I'm telling you right now, folks, and I can't believe people are dishonest about this.
Well, I mean, are you saying he's not half white?
I'm telling you right now that it is a convenient argument that a lot of racist mothers make because they don't want to look racist. So they say, oh, and I'm not racist because he's half white. If he wasn't president, and this was, you know, 6-7 years ago, he'd be black. Anybody with black blood, black. It's the way it's always been in this country, and it's the way it still is. And anybody that's telling me that, oh, I'm not racist, Obama's half white, why do they even call him black? They're not being honest, and they know it. So don't, you know, go yank somebody else, all right? I get so sick and tired of that.
But wait a minute, man. Are you? I mean, I know that he's half white, and I know what you're saying. He basically black.
Are you saying he's just a black guy?
Oh, are you kidding me, man? Are you kidding me? Did you hear him say when he stood in the street in New York before he was president, when nobody knew who he was, and he tried to hail a cab? What the hell do you think happened to this half-white guy if he's so half-white? He didn't get a cab. He looks black, and that means he is black in the minds of everybody that sees him. And I think it's another one of these oily, slippery, slimy arguments that these racists make so they don't look racist. I got to tell you something. There's only two kinds of racists. One, a complete and utter imbecile. The other, a completely dishonest, almost sociopathic individual who they know they're wrong, but to them it's a game of getting back at the world that shortchanged them, period. There's no other kind of racist. There might be a third kind, and that's the guy that suddenly realizes, boy, I really have been stupid about this. Maybe being a racist is not cool.
What do you mean?
I mean, a guy that's really honest and is seeking the truth, and maybe he was raised in an environment where there was a lot of racist talk, and he gets to a certain point in his life, and he goes, well, wait a second, that's not right, because of what I've observed about life, I don't think I've been entirely, I don't think I've educated myself in this. And so he's an honest, truth-seeking person. But among the racists of the world, especially in this country, that's about one half of 0.1%, if there's any of them. The other ones are divided almost evenly between utter imbeciles. I mean, real nose-picking morons and the jackasses that manipulate them. And those guys are just flat dishonest. Those guys have just got a problem because life didn't work out the way it should have, and they're so brilliant and they're so smart. They're like a lot of these guys that think that they're just brain surgeons, and the world just told them to, we don't want to be around you, man, because you're a hateful piece of garbage, and it's somehow the world's fault.
What are you saying about people call Obama half white?
Those are idiots. Most of them are idiots. And, yeah. And then there's the dishonest ones. The dishonest ones are the ones that if they saw Obama before he was president, say, there goes a black guy. There goes a black guy. Now, all of a sudden, no, he's half white. Yeah, sure. How can I be racist? He's half white. Now, those are the people. Those are the slimy bastards. And then there's the idiots. Those people that are, Obama's half white. That's because I heard a guy say he was half white. Well, I don't have a problem with anybody that's half white. You don't? Oh, okay. Sure you don't. So anyway,
I don't know, man. Obama, he looks black to me.
Yeah, he looks black to you. So is he black?
No, he's half white.
No, bud, you didn't say that, if it was 5-6 years ago.
I didn't know Obama 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, but any other black guy that's half white.
Nah, you guys are nuts.
Yeah, that's right. We're all nuts and you're, yeah, okay. Anyway, getting back here to the Trayvon Martin case, it's unclear how these new documents might bolster or otherwise harm the prosecution's case. Here's another very insidious thing. The information includes laboratory reports that show Martin's blood had traces of THC. That means that he had traces of the active ingredient marijuana. Now, you watch over the next several weeks how those traces of marijuana in his bloodstream will suddenly evolve in the minds of some people into a perfectly logical and valid reason to kill the guy in cold blood.
Ma'am. Well, I mean, if he was stoned or something.
If he was stoned, what?
Maybe attack the guy.
Have you ever met anybody that's smoked weed and then wanted to go out and kick ass? It's completely counterintuitive to being stoned. Yeah, let me go out and get in a fight. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. It is our news and information
Hour.
Excuse me.
Hour.
There you go. Margaret Gray coming up next.
Yeah, Margaret, it's about Donna Summer.
Yeah, about Donna Summer.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray is going to get on the line with us here as a tribute to the late Donna Summer, who passed on yesterday from lung cancer at the age of 63. I always thought Donna Summer was my age or younger, but she's a little bit older.
I wanted to comment. That's your way of saying, oh, gee, look at me. I'm not as old as some people. And I think, a lady's vanity.
Well, all right, Margaret. I didn't mean anything by that. And Margaret's joining us. It was Frank. What happened to Frank?
Frank?
I'm sorry. What happened to Harvey?
Oh, Harvey. Well, he knocked on the door claiming he was Domino's, and I had to give him what for.
So that means what?
I kicked his ass. Is that enough for you? And I put him back in his Cadillac, and I called up his daughter, whoever, and they came and picked him up. He tried to get in the house here.
Yeah, I know. I just... All right. Is Frank there?
What do you got? What's with Frank, Phil? I don't understand.
I just wonder if he's there. Sometimes he joins you.
No. Frank is at the pool now trying to get ice for his drink like he usually does. And he's, he's going to always have that brain damage. Did you get it?
I don't know where it is. Yeah, I've got...
Yeah, I tell him all the time where the ice is. Anyway, Phil, I want to sing a song that, yes, you're absolutely right, does very much honor Donna Summer. She was so many things to so many people. She was the goddess. She was the mother. She was the disco queen. She was the diva. She was the songstress. She was the balladeer. She was woman. She was girl. She was...
Okay, that's fine.
I beg your pardon?
That's good. You're going to go on and on.
That is the rudest thing to do while I was trying to set this song up.
Well, it sounded...
That was absolutely the... I was setting the song up with a little poetic intro for a little girl named Donna Summer who passed on.
Sorry.
Now, as I was saying, Donna Summer was... She was spokesmodel. She was spokeswoman. She was femme fatale. She was songstress. She was balladeer. She was songwriter. She was dancer. She was singer. She was goddess. She was, yes, I'll say it. She was our dream sex dance slut. She was all of these things, but she was also something else, Phil. You know what she was? She was a singer. Now, I know I already said that.
Yeah, you see, you're telling me about the poetry here, and we could have gotten to the song.
All right, I said singer, but I meant singer in a different way. Never mind. This is a great Donna Summer song. It's called...
Yeah?
Oh, would you shut up?
Giving a dramatic pause, Phil.
What?
He's giving a dramatic pause.
Sorry.
Here is a song now by Donna Summer, and it's called 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Who said God?
I did.
Would you please shut your hole?
Keep the cake home.
Here is a song by Donna Summer, and it's called 2, 3, 4, 5.
Last dance. Now, let's go.
I'll see you soon. Don't worry about it. I'll see you soon. It's called Last Dance. I love it.
Yeah.
soul it up a little bit, Phil. Last dance. Last chance for love.
Wow.
Is it the last chance for a romance? Oh, I need you.
Okay, that, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it.
Well, you really are.
I can't take it anymore. I'm sorry.
You don't get a call back.
I just, that. God.
What's wrong with that, man? See, let's get into it.
What, are you telling me you guys like that?
Well, I mean, I would like to hear out more of the development, that, you know, there where it was going to go.
Where it was going to go? As far as I could tell, man, it had nowhere else to go but down, straight down. She's got that mic all over the place.
No, it's a phone.
All right, it's the phone. Hell, I'd rather her come in here and sing it live. I just don't think that, you know, it is... I don't think it's anything that is, you know... Margaret, I'm sorry, but you were... The phone...
You know something, Phil? If you were standing here, you wouldn't be anymore. You'd be on the ground holding onto your... I'm going to say it. Onto your... And so
we had to dump that.
Yeah, I figured you would. I figured that's the kind of man you are. I'm just telling people, you'd be laying on your side with your hands down between your legs, sounding, go ahead, Frank, hit it. Like that, like Mr. Ed. Okay?
I apologize, but it was sounding pretty bad. Speaking of Mr. Ed...
Are you telling me I sounded like a horse?
No.
Are you telling me I sounded like a horse?
No, I'm not saying that, but you were, guide me. It was all over the place, and I could hear the telephone and the cord, you know.
I told you I was going to soul it up. That means give it a little bit of a black feel, okay? Now shut up.
Oh, God.
You've thrown me off so much, Phil. I'm Margaret Gray. Last dance. Last chance for love.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, Frank. Yes, it's the last chance. Romance. Tonight. That's a little bit of a Four Seasons thing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I need you. I need you, Frank. By me.
Of course.
Beside me. To guide me. Hold me. Scold me. Cause when I'm bad, I'm dead.
Let's dance. Yeah, let's dance.
Okay, that's it, man.
What'd you do?
What do you mean, what did I do? As soon as she went into the baritone, I'm done with it.
I thought it sounded pretty good up to then, though.
Yeah, it sounded okay. But as soon as I heard, let's dance, that was the end of that. Thank you, Margaret. And rest in peace, Donna Summer. You know, I remember driving to work when that song, because I worked at a rock station at the time. This was 1976. When her first big hit record came out was MacArthur's Park. And the thing that made it a novelty was that it was MacArthur's Park. It wasn't really so much that Donna Summer, you know, nobody knew who she was. But the thing that was a novelty about it was MacArthur's Park as a dance song.
Oh, yeah, that like a disco beat.
Yes, yeah, because in those days they were putting a disco beat to everything, man. There was a guy who was putting a disco beat to, like, Beethoven music. There was a, what the hell was that guy's name? I can't remember his name, but he did a Beethoven song that was like, Wasn't that in...
That was in a John Travolta movie.
Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that... So anybody that put a disco beat to a song, that was, you know, considered really cool. So she comes along with this MacArthur's Park. But then she followed up with a couple other hit records, and people started to notice her more than maybe just the music. But I remember at the time I was working at a rock station, and we didn't play disco. You know, I mean, now the anti-disco thing that you hear so much about really didn't surface until the last... Really, the last year of the 70s, when disco actually got really popular. Disco wasn't popular. It was just this sort of club music that became popular because of Saturday Night Fever. But it was really nothing until Saturday Night Fever came out. In the late, when it became popular, that's when Steve Dahl blew up all those disco records.
Yeah, that was funny, man. He went to a White Sox game?
Yeah, it was at Comiskey Park.
What'd he do?
He took a bunch of disco records. Dahl took a bunch of disco records at the end of a White Sox game and blew them up. It was pretty funny. And that was when all that anti-disco stuff happened. But at the time, I was just working at a rock station, and I didn't like it. But I noticed that Donna Summer was really kind of, you know, different. She was sexy, and she was beautiful, and she became sort of this icon. So that song, I listened to that damn song going to work every morning, man. I was doing morning drive at WORJ in Orlando, which I don't think exists anymore. It was a album rock station in Orlando at the time. And every morning, man, I'm listening to this stuff.
Why don't you listen to your own station?
Because I was trying to find out the news. We weren't really carrying news overnight. So I was listening to the one station that I knew had a regular, like a 20-minute news sweep, which was the... that station, the top 40, whatever the hell you want to call it, station. All right, we'll be right back here on the Phil Hendry Show with a final concluding segment here in our news and information hour. We'll give it a story on that most beautiful woman in the world slammed over her baby fat. Wait till you hear where she's from. This is very strange. They don't dig her because she's fat. She's considered the most beautiful woman in the world. She's gained weight because she had a baby. But in the country she's from, you'd think that every little bit would be huge. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
By me, God. God, me.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, our news and information, awahia. Now, what do you got, bud?
Get that dead song if you want to hear it.
What song?
Get that Beethoven.
Oh, dude, don't you understand that stuff makes me want to retch my guts loose? Back then, now, nothing's changed. You know, I hate it. They discoed up everything, man.
Well, I mean, this is all disco version of Beethoven.
Who gives a crap?
That's more. It's classical music. Don't you know nothing about it?
Oh, don't I know nothing about classical music, man? Hell yeah, I do. I know as much as you do.
That ain't much.
Okay. It may not be much. Don't give me this stuff about don't I know nothing about it. You know, and I know that classical music ain't disco music, okay?
Well, you got a problem with disco music, man. You ought to get over it.
I got no problem with disco music. The problem I got is the way they took every freaking song back then and tried to make it into a disco song. I was just talking to Dan. They did it with the theme from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. They did it with the theme from the... What the hell is this? Is that it?
Yeah, this is it. Listen to this.
Get out of here with that. All right. Do you mind? Do you mind, bud? Turn it down, will you?
No.
Did you just say no to me?
Well, no. Don't you want to hear it?
No, I don't want to hear it. The world's most beautiful... Get that. The world's most beautiful woman is at the center of a growing controversy. Don't ever tell me no.
Well, I just thought...
All right, go ahead, play it. Go ahead, there. You happy?
Yeah, this is great.
You gotta let Bud... Sometimes Bud, you know...
Sometimes Bud what?
Well, sometimes got a good idea.
Yeah, what, like once every 6 years or something? okay. You digging it, bud?
Yeah, I just want you to listen to it. Who is this, anyway?
Walter Murphy.
No. The guy that... Who wrote it?
That's a guy named... That's that Beethoven guy.
Yeah, Listen. I get into classical music, you're more like that.
Oh, God.
You need to get educated.
Sure, bud. You know, I need to get educated on classical music. Let me go ahead and get a whole bunch of freaking Walter Murphy disco records.
What's that? Right there.
Oh, big deal, man.
What? You don't dig keyboards?
Yeah, man, I like keyboard. I can't even play them.
Oh, man. Can we turn it off now, please? Please?
Wait a minute. This is a bitching part.
David.
Yeah, I think this is good for the kid.
So in other words, I'm odd man out here, is that it?
I think it's good for the kid to listen to this classical music?
No, it's this disco.
The what?
Disco.
Disco?
Yes!
Boy, did you sound gay then. Yes! Why'd you let a little more gas escape?
Thank you.
Right here, this is the bitching part. Okay, you can turn it down.
God. You know what I'm going to do, bud? Your birthday's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to get you a whole bunch of that stuff.
All right. I would like to hear more of it and maybe even go to a concert.
Do you like classical music or disco music?
Well, whatever that was.
That was disco.
Well, I mean, it was disco and classical.
I like that Beethoven guy.
Well, then you like classical music, man.
Well... Does it sound like that?
No.
But then I ain't gonna like it.
Then you like disco, dude. That wasn't Beethoven. That wasn't Beethoven.
Yeah, it was.
It was Beethoven's melody put to a disco beat by some nut by the name of Walter Murphy, okay?
Walter Murphy. His name will reign forever.
Yeah. That's right, man. His name will reign forever. All right, here's a story that's pretty, it's pretty interesting. The world's most beautiful woman is at the center of a growing controversy over fame, motherhood, and, yes, baby fat. You see, it all started when... What the hell are you doing?
Oh, sorry.
The world's most beautiful woman is at the center of a growing controversy over fame, motherhood, and baby fat. Now, her name is Aishwarya Rai Bachchan. She is a former Miss World and one of India's most beloved Bollywood stars.
What are you talking about? That don't make her the most beautiful woman. Oh, sorry.
Will you, do you mind? I mean, I don't want to interrupt your musical education tonight, and, you know, you've just been taking a whole show over. Do you mind?
Yeah, bud.
I don't know. I just...
You got anything else you want to say? I mean, can we play some more Beethoven for you?
Sorry.
Now, the reason why you've never heard of her, she's a star in India, and in India, they call her the world's most beautiful woman, and she is a very striking woman. India has a very big film industry. There's a lot of movie fans over there. They love their Indian-made movies. I told you that I was in Toronto last summer. They were having the Bollywood Awards as I pulled into town, and I was infected with a brand new Asian virus as a result. So,
well, that don't sound too glamorous.
No, it wasn't too glamorous. I'm not blaming Bollywood. Please understand, folks. But, yeah, I sort of am.
Now, you said it was a Chinese guy.
Yeah, just shut up. Anyway, so she's getting slammed for taking... Get a load of this, man. This is India, where you'd think they wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of fat on somebody.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Everybody over there weighed about 15 pounds.
Yeah, why are you upset with her?
Because she's the world's most beautiful woman, man. And if you're the world's most beautiful woman, you can't have any fat on your ass. So she's getting slammed for taking too long to lose her post-pregnancy baby weight. Shocking. This is the tabloids in India. Shocking. Fat Aishwarya and Aishwarya's baby fat woes are just two examples of the headlines that have triggered an international debate over India's perception of women and fame. What do you mean international debate? Nobody in the States gives a crap.
Yeah, nobody in the States gives a crap about anything.
There ain't no international debate. When they say international, they say India and Europe. Aishwarya Rai Bachchan, Miss World in 1994, has long been an icon of beauty and a source of great pride for her country. In the U.S., she's charmed the likes of Oprah. Really? I never even heard of this chick. David Letterman and Julia Roberts. She has...
Well, that ain't all that big deal, man. I mean, Oprah's not on the air anymore. Nobody care about David Letterman.
Well, that's pretty cruel to say.
But you wasn't on Jay Leno.
She might have been on Jay Leno. She has high-profile cosmetic contracts with L'Oreal. Add to all of this her high-profile wedding in 2007 to the Indian actor Tonto. No, to the Indian actor Bhashek Bakatalawakapa. I don't know. The son of the highly revered actor Amatukuku Lalala and... I can't read these names, man, up against the clock. Anyway, we'll be sure to look this up, folks. It's really important, but I don't have time for it right now. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. And remember to go online at philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass. That gives you access to fantastic things like our live-streaming video cast each and every night here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Till then, let that be a lesson to you. It's Reddit AMA tomorrow, man.
Phil Hendry.
And AMA tomorrow. Woo!